This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Join A.J. Hoffman Saturday for a college game day party presented by Coors Light at Luke's Ice House. The game of the day is LSU versus Texas A&M. Kicking off at 6:30, meet us on the deck to catch the game and a cold silver bullet. And we're going to have to talk about LSU next segment because lots of rumors about Les Miles. And I got to tell you, I'm
stupid rumors.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. But we have to do these Zadok.
Shoot yourselves in the foot.
Yeah, you know, it's again, you have to know what you are as a program. LSU's a top five job, certainly a top 10 job. And if you're a top 10 job, you win a national championship every 10 years, you're actually doing something right.
Yeah.
They've done that. So, you know, I know that sometimes the voice gets to where you don't want to hear it anymore, but be careful what you wish for here. All right. This is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, Jong, I'm going to need a favor. You probably need to keep your finger on the dump button just in case I mess this up.
Okay, we haven't used this dump button in here, so
okay. Well,
see how this goes.
I'm going to need your help with this because there's a gentleman who has been having problems with Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Okay, good. So he's repeatedly had his account suspended because administrators did not believe in his name.
Yeah.
So he actually put his passport on his Facebook page, explaining he needed to provide his real name because the social media site kept shutting it down. Now, there's two potential pronunciations here.
I would use an Asian accent on this one.
You would?
No. I'm just saying just to
all right, well, I'm going to go with the Evening Standard pronounced it as Fu Dabik. Does that sound close?
I don't know. I'll have to ask Teresa.
Bic? Yeah.
Because I think it looks Vietnamese. I'll have to ask her.
All right. And news.com said Foop Duke Bic.
Duke?
Duke.
It looks like Fook Dat Beesh to
yes.
me.
Yes. Or Foo.
What is in...
I don't know how you get Duke out of Dat.
Beesh or Beach or Beak?
It says Bic.
Bic?
Yes. But the last name is B-I-C-H. The middle is Dat. And the first is... Foo. With the UC silent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's why I was saying please be careful about this.
Because dat win is dat.
Yeah. But that's also Americanized.
Well.
I guess. Jong, you need to help us with this. We have one Asian in the entire room and you're not helping.
I'm not Vietnamese, so the pronunciations are a little different.
Did you?
I just texted her.
Okay.
Well, why didn't you call her and put her on?
We'll see.
Okay.
No one is going to say those words together the way we shouldn't. We're smart enough not to do that, I hope. But that, I mean, I can see why that would confuse people. I'm sure one of our Vietnamese listeners can explain.
I've got to know. I need to know how this guy's name is said.
Yeah, well, don't call in and say it.
Right.
Although Alex wants to talk about it, and he's Vietnamese. All right, we'll do this, Alex, but don't get me in trouble. What's up, Alex?
Hey, sports.
Sports
actually,
to you.
Fook Dat Bic.
Fook Dat Bic?
Yeah.
Okay. That's about what I thought.
All right.
Are you sure you're definitely Vietnamese?
Yeah.
What's your name?
My name is Alexander Nguyen.
Alexander?
My full name is Alexander Hugh Man Nguyen.
Okay, that's more like it. Okay.
Yeah, well
I'll
done.
I'll take your word for it then.
All right.
Thank you.
Fook Dat Beak.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. Yeah, I knew that Duke. That's off.
Right. I was just reading what the story said. I didn't know that it was right. Now we actually have a listener who called in and told us. So
we're just taking somebody's word for it.
Yeah.
That guy, he said that name. When he said his full name, I was like, okay, I'm convinced.
But yeah. Yeah, at first it was a little, whoop.
A dude named Alex. Who knows? You know, I was hoping to hear from Jong. But he didn't want to say it either.
Well,
so.
No offense. That's kind of why I use this story because, you know, we do have an Asian who works here who's pretty smart.
Yeah,
does a lot of good stuff here for us and Just kind of thought maybe he'd clarify things for us.
That's a little racist.
Jong's better with numbers anyway. Everyone knows that.
No, he's not.
I'm horrible with numbers.
Oh.
Wrong Asian.
Jong's a good driver. That's
actually, I am a pretty good driver.
So what you're telling us is you're... Never mind. Never mind. Let's just move on because this is... We've been
that's
racist.
That's your Sad Dog Jewelers.
Yeah, that's your Sad Dog Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Sad Dog Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. Well, good to be back in town. And one of the things that I can't wait to do is go see our buddies Chip and the gang up at Tupelo's. And, hey, this is where you want to spend the holidays, man. 2907 Rayford Road, Spring, Texas. They've got holiday events. They've got daily specials. They've got everything. It is a great sports bar with a great atmosphere, but it's also got fantastic food. It's also got TVs where you can watch everything. And it's a great place to take the family if you want to have a few drinks and watch the games. And if you don't want to bring the family, that's cool, too. You're going to fit right in. It can really be your home away from home. Check them out at tubelos.com. Find out how you can book your holiday event. Find out all the cool stuff they've got going on out there. Get on out there. Tell them we sent you. I promise you, you're going to have a great, great time. And I can't say enough about the food. I have yet to have a bad meal out there. Everything is fantastic. Go take that wing challenge if you think you can handle that. It is a great place to hang out for the holidays. Fun place to have your drinks. Watch your sports. Check them out. Tupelo's Sports Bar and Grill, 2907 Rayford Road, tubelos.com. For them, you have a win over Temple.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. I'm not reading your bad texts, though, so don't even bother. Only the good ones where you actually make good comments, which we've had some very good ones today. If you missed the first 2 hours, all available at podcastarena.com. Go check it out. Lots of Texans talk, lots of NFL talk, lots of college football talk. Hit a little bit of everything. So there you go.
We haven't hit. We haven't talked TV in a while.
Yeah. Would you like to do that?
I just got to say, John, did you watch Walking Dead?
I did not. I was watching the Sunday Night Football game, so I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Did you go to bed straight after?
No, I was helping Teresa put up her Christmas tree.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Yeah, she wanted to get it out of the way. But I heard she was on social media, and she saw a hashtag, a spoiler. And I was like, don't tell me. We don't watch it tonight.
I won't tell you then.
Okay, I'll turn down my headphones and see.
No, that's okay. I'll just say this. It was one of the better Walking Dead episodes in some time. They've kind of been hit or miss with me, but this one was actually pretty good. And have you been on The Leftovers?
Yes.
That might be the best show going right now.
I'll take Fargo over that, but it's close. Fargo is through the roof.
The episode last night.
Now, I have not seen last night's episode yet.
Of The Leftovers is the best hour of TV I've seen in a long, long time. And that story is, I mean, it is bat bleep crazy. The whole season has just been insane.
Yeah. No, I've been enjoying the hell out of it, but I have not seen last night's.
Man, brilliant episode last night. That show is getting so good. And of course, it's about to end.
Yeah, it's only got two episodes.
Two
after
episodes
last night.
Left. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to do another season. We'll see how this season wraps up. But I hope they can continue this show because it is just brilliantly written. And the first season was good, not blow you away good. I am so glad I gave it a second chance, like the second season. This second season has just been damn near perfect television. So kudos to HBO. For this Leftovers show. That show is really good right now.
Yeah, I thought episodes 3 and 5 dragged a little bit, but since that one, it's just been terrific. So looking forward to watching last night.
Fargo's been very good. Gotham has been very good. That's a fun show, Gotham.
I'm only on Fargo and The Leftovers, and I watch, obviously, John Oliver every Sunday night.
Right. They said that I saw the thing today, the trailer for HBO's Game of Thrones. Looks like Jon Snow will be back in some kind of form. I mean, he's all over the posters. He's all over the trailers. So I'm guessing he's going to be around in April. And then Banshee starts up in January. So
yeah, the last year of Banshee. Although I was reading today that HBO's doing, like, they've got Vinyl coming out, which actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the way that's set up, they wouldn't be able to start Game of Thrones until May, which kind of makes sense if George R.R. is actually writing the book to get it out before the series.
Well, the trailer came out today, and it said April. So, okay. I mean,
yeah,
I hope
it's probably going to be back end of April then.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a maybe April, they probably shouldn't have put April in big giant letters on it because that's just going to piss people off. But yeah, it's coming back soon, one way or the other. I say soon. April's so far away now.
Yeah,
think
is.
About it.
It is. Blair,
that's like 5 months from now. It's not even close.
Yeah, and there are so many rumors out there from people who've been on set and what they've seen, and so many spoilers that I wonder if the whole Jon Snow thing isn't just a complete red herring, and that he's back for one episode as a flashback or something, and then he's just dead. But Blair, who is our resident lawyer, says, I must admit I do not understand people's obsession with Leftovers. I cannot stand it.
You're crazy. That show is so good. So good.
Everybody is so bleeped up on it. I like that. I like shows.
It's a mess. They're crazy. Everyone's certifiably lunatics.
Yeah.
But, man, it's good. It is good.
Is it wrong of me that I now occasionally speak to a large woman who's not there?
Yes.
That I think I see all the time?
Yes. That's weird.
Mm. Okay. Well, it didn't happen until I started watching the show. And, you know, we just have conversations about, you know, TV, things like that.
Okay. Well, that's me, Fred. I'm not a fat woman. It's me.
No, but I mean, like, when I'm by I'm by myself.
Okay. Well, that's weird.
Let's grab a phone call. Renee, you're on the Blitz. Go. What's going
Sports
on, Renee?
Fella.
Sports to you.
Yes, sir. Hey, I had a quick question for y'all. Y'all think O'Brien should keep TJ Yates in, or should he just keep on going with Hoyer?
We talked about this earlier. I think Brian Hoyer is the man. I think he's done everything they could have asked of him this season, and I think that guy has earned the right to be the quarterback when he comes back. So, I think Brian Hoyer is the guy. TJ Yates did a good job backing him up, but no, Brian Hoyer is their best chance to win.
And, you know, I'll give him credit, though. The quarterback has, we were saying it earlier, even when they were getting blown out, really quarterback hasn't been the issue since they solved the whole mallet problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brian Hoyer was playing pretty well. It just, you know, Yates had a good game yesterday. He missed a lot of passes that I don't know if Hoyer misses all those passes. But, I mean, that's what you want out of your backup quarterback. Come in, don't screw up, make a few plays. I like the way he's played. And that's great, but I still think Brian Hoyer gives you the best chance to win. I do like, though, that if he's hurt, you don't feel like you have absolutely no shot,
right,
which has been the case around here before, by the way. And it hasn't been that long. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. Be happy to take your phone calls, but first, you got to tell people about Gary Trichter.
Gary Trichter. Yep, law enforcement stepping up their efforts with no refusal weekends. You know they're coming up during these holiday weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. So if your weekends suck because of a DUI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you fail one of those tests the police give you. Remember that machine, the breath test machine? It's not even warranted fit for testing on humans. It's inaccurate. It's unreliable. Most states have abandoned the machine because it's just old technology. Same with the blood test. Failing that blood test isn't the end of the world. A lot of inaccuracies about police blood testing. They're not even testing your blood. They're testing the air above the blood. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. And failing these tests, it's not the worst thing that can happen because juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with these machines. And that's where Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist here in Houston, experienced in telling the truth about these tests to juries. He's also one of only 4 board-certified DWI specialists in the state. So if you failed the breath or blood test, whether it's DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So AJ is going to be at the College Game Day party Saturday at Luke's Ice House. On Wednesday, they're doing a Carbach tap takeover out there.
Nice.
Hopadillo, Negro Black IPA, Fresh Nugs, Fresh Hop Ale, and you'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah, their new seasonal is out.
All good stuff, man. Love some Carbach. All right, 713.
A lot of people telling me leftovers is boring. I don't know what's going on with you guys.
Some of the people who are our best contributors on Twitter, Lamont says leftovers is missionary sex boring. Yeah, but that's still better than, like, none, right?
All right.
So I guess what you're saying is you'd rather watch it than not watch anything, I guess. And Blair says, I think part of it is I read the book and it was awful. I've not read the book and I hear the same thing, that the book is terrible.
I don't know there was a book.
Yeah. And Manny liked it, said best three episodes in a row.
Oh, they're talking about this Jessica Jones.
Oh, they've moved on to that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a book for The Leftovers. That sounds crazy.
No, there was a book for The Leftovers. It was awful.
Okay.
Now, see, I thought that's what they were talking about.
Listen, that maybe I'm crazy. And like I said, I almost, after last season, I was like, it's a good show last year.
Yeah, but I wasn't really interested.
It wasn't like crazy great. To me, this season has just been so well written. And I mean, it's ridiculous concepts, but it's it's just a very good show.
I still think Fargo is the best one so far this year. And I was dubious because it was so good last year and the acting was so good. But they've created some amazing characters. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. What do you guys think about Dak Prescott being a great draft target for the Texans? He's had a great season without much talent around. He's a college quarterback. I don't see him as much of an NFL prospect.
Yeah, I mean, I like him as much as anybody else in rounds
five through seven.
Yeah.
Let's try a phone call. Sam, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Put him up. Sorry, wrong show. Hey, what are the odds you think the Texans will go 4-2 the remaining of the season?
And that's a conversation we had first hour. Realistically, I think they have to go 4-2 if they're going to win the division, and one of those wins has to be at Indianapolis, so where they've never won. Now, the flip side of that is you could say, well, they're due.
They are due.
You can't go 0 for 30 years.
You can.
Well, ask the Lions how long it took them to win in Green Bay. So, I don't, you know, I think more likely it's 3-3. It's not going to be good enough, but 4-2 with that win would get you in. And I would be willing to bet real money that if they did that, they went 4-2 with a win at Indy, they're in.
What's the odds, though, that they'll go 4-2?
13.6%.
Okay. I'll go 20%.
Really? You're giving them more of a chance than I am?
Yeah.
Well, I to me, that Saints game is a big swing game because I just don't know what Saints team is going to show up. If the Texans show up like they have the last 3 weeks, they'll win. They'll win easy. But
I think the Saints game and the Buffalo game are the question marks. Well, I'm also counting the Colts game as a loss. I don't think they can win that game.
You can't win that game, or you can't lose that game and not win the division. There's just no way because you've already got one loss to that team, and that's going to be the same as losing two games.
But the reality is, Fred, if they go 4-2, if let's say they lose to the Pats and Colts, they're still 9-7, and that's still arguably a wild card
spot.
That
might get you into the wild card, yes. But I just think that of your four, that has to be one of them. Let's see. How about Danny? What's up, Danny? Oh, sorry.
Sports.
Oh,
hey, sports, Danny.
Thought we lost you.
Oh, you hear me?
Yep, got you.
Okay, cool. I know Vandy's no offensive juggernaut, but, I mean, after seeing A&M kind of shut down their one-dimensional rushing attack, what are the odds? Do you think they can go into Baton Rouge and steal a win this Saturday?
Man, I'll say this. LSU is such a mess right now that it wouldn't shock me. And had you asked me this 2 weeks ago, I would have said there's no way in hell LSU is going to lose to A&M. And I mean, realistically, it's not like the Aggies are playing good football
or something.
That would convince me that they have a chance. But with everything going on in LSU, and they're obviously not playing great ball right now –
They got smacked by Ole Miss.
But
0-3 on the month. Their first three-game losing streak under Les Miles.
But, I mean, you're talking about firing your coach. I mean, there's a lot of problems going on in LSU right now. Leonard Fournette, 3 weeks ago, was hands down the Heisman favorite. Now he's not even in the top five. I mean, he's not a top five Heisman guy now. That's crazy that can happen in 3 weeks. And like I said, A&M, when's the last time they played really well? Mississippi State?
That's it, yeah.
Alabama, they lost. Ole Miss, they lost. Almost lost to South Carolina. Lost to Auburn.
Boy, that loss looks even – I mean, that win looks a lot worse.
Yeah. I mean, it took them until the end of the game to really get it going against Western Carolina. And then they beat Vanderbilt pretty handily, I guess, 25-0. But they never, like
– Didn't beat them as bad as UH did.
Didn't beat them as bad as UH did. A&M's not playing great, but they've got a lot less problems right now than LSU does. So I still think LSU's a better team than them. But They're not playing better.
I mean, they're both playing pretty crappy.
It's almost to where I'd say it's a coin flip game, and that's pretty wild to think a game at LSU, first of all, is a coin flip game against this A&M team that I don't think very much of, but I do think they've got a really legitimate chance to beat that team.
11 seasons, Les Miles, 110-32, and a national championship, 2 championship appearances. Be careful what you wish for with that.
LSU 5.5-point favorites in that game. I'll take that 5.5 for sure.
Yeah, I'm probably with you.
I don't know what LSU's thinking. I don't know who they're looking at. They're going, look at that guy. He'll be better than Les Miles. I just don't see it out there.
I mean, you're going to gamble on somebody who hasn't done it yet at that level, is basically what you're telling me. Unless you think Chip Kelly is going to come back to college. And I don't know if that's better. I don't know if Chip Kelly's better than Les Miles. He's gotten to 1-2. He didn't win. And that's probably the name, right? That's the biggest guy you could get.
Probably so.
Is that an upgrade?
The problem is LSU's not the biggest job that's going to be open. USC's still going to be open.
I still think LSU's as good a job as USC. Especially being in the Southeast Conference.
I don't.
Well.
I mean, USC's that's the best job on the West Coast. I mean, you're in a number two media market. You and the Lakers, who have sucked for the last few years, now you're the only show in town.
In a market where people only pay attention when you win, though, it's no different than Houston. LSU is to me, it's one of the top SEC jobs.
It is.
It's a place where I feel like if I were a great coach, I'd have a better chance of winning there than I would at USC.
You're crazy, Fred. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a ridiculous statement.
How is that a ridiculous statement?
First of all,
because the SEC champ is in the playoff every damn year. The SEC champ is playing for national championships everywhere.
Does USC have to play Alabama every year?
But you know what?
Nope.
If I'm good enough, I beat Alabama. See, you're always...
How many people are good enough?
Well...
How's LSU done against Alabama recently?
Well, the last couple of years, but they beat them before.
Okay.
Beat them before to get there. Mississippi beat them this year. Let's not... And look, Alabama's the best team in the conference, but if I think I'm a good coach... I'd rather go there and play Alabama and beat them. We always get to this. You're about, let's go take the easy path. I want to go beat everybody's ass and be the biggest dog on the block.
Okay. I'm about getting the best recruits and...
Recruit pretty well at LSU. They've had a lot more draft picks than USC has the last few
years. You're not having to recruit against Alabama. You're not having to recruit against Texas A&M.
It's just a difference of opinion. I'd rather beat the best in the best conference. And
I don't know how far and away the SEC is the best conference anymore.
Well, they keep getting the most NFL picks every year. I know I can get NFL players down here.
All right.
And I think you're glamorizing USC a little more than what it really is.
Okay. I don't think I have to glamorize USC.
It had a great run under Pete Carroll. Always goes back to the coach. I always say this. Great run under Pete Carroll. And ever since then... Hasn't been that great.
Well, isn't it about how good of a coach you are? So if you go to USC and you turn it back into a glamour program, the sky's the limit. Right?
Yeah. Well, same thing at LSU. Sky's the limit for you. If you go, Les Miles was being talked about for every job in the world 4 years ago, and he chose to stay there.
You remember when Pete Carroll was at USC and an undefeated SEC team got left out of the national championship?
Yes, I remember that.
Okay. That's what USC is. An undefeated USC team will never in a million years get left out of a national championship game, ever. Ever.
Well, the odds of them going undefeated again.
Just like an undefeated Notre Dame team is never going to get left out.
Well, same thing. They got to get the right coach. But I'm just telling you, if I'm a coach and I feel like I can win anywhere, I'd rather go to LSU.
Okay. You'd rather live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana than LA.
I've lived in Los Angeles. It's way effing overrated.
Okay.
It is, especially where that campus is. That's a horrible place to live.
Well, you think the coach is going to live in Compton?
No, but you got to go through there every day.
Let me tell you something. Baton Rouge is not like some beautiful city. It's no paradise.
No, but
I've lived in Louisiana, and let me tell you, it's no treat.
You know what? It's okay for us to have different opinions on where we want to live.
That is.
I've lived in Los Angeles. If I were going to live in California, I would not ever live in L.A. again. I'd want to live in San Diego or Del Mar, someplace there. It doesn't make me an idiot. If I'd rather coach at Baton Rouge, okay, that's me.
All right.
You know, I'm sure you'd rather coach at Washington than you would say, let's see, what's a good comparable program that's not in the Pac-12? Like Michigan State. You have a choice, Washington or Michigan State. You love living in Seattle.
No, Michigan State's a better job. That's not a comparable program.
Okay, well, give me
Washington or Iowa?
Well, of course you're going to take Washington. I'm trying to find one that's a place that actually is a better program, but you'd rather live somewhere else.
Okay.
If you have a choice. You don't think you could win at Washington?
You could win at Washington if you're good enough. I'd rather be at Washington than Ole Miss.
See, okay, that's fair.
You wouldn't rather be at Washington than Ole Miss?
I don't know. I don't know which one I'd want.
Okay.
I'm not really crazy about either place, to be honest with you. Because I think it is hard to recruit at Washington.
It is.
Because you don't have... I don't know. It depends on how good a coach I am.
But in that part of the country, I mean, you're recruiting against Oregon. That's about it.
Yeah. And I'm hearing a lot of Jimbo Fisher to LSU, but I'm pretty sure his contract is...
That's who LSU wants.
Yeah, but...
It's going to cost him, and it's going to cost him to get rid of Les Miles. I think they're making a big mistake.
$15 million buy. And I don't know that Jimbo Fisher is going to do any better there long term. And because, let's face it, that is a step up from playing in the ACC. And they've been the big dog there. It's basically, all you got to do is beat Clemson every year.
Yeah. I don't know that he'd be. I mean, obviously that's a big job, but I think Florida State's a big job. It's almost, I don't want to say it's a lateral move, but it's really close to a lateral move.
It's up. I think it's up, but it's not much. And I mean, why do that when you can win national championships where you are?
And you've proven that you can win national championships where you are. I don't know that I get it. I keep going back to LSU's crazy. If they think they're getting a better coach than Les Miles, they're crazy.
I can't think of too many names out there where I would say, oh, yeah, this is an upgrade. And I don't see you getting those guys.
Mm-mm.
And even if you brought in Chip Kelly, I'm not so sure that's – which I don't know that that's going to be better. I don't know if he can coach there. Anyway.
I think that they are going to – they're going to get to that before the Nick Saban era. And things weren't – I mean, they were all right. They weren't great. You've had two really good coaches there, and I don't know that you're going to find one better than what you've got now.
No, and look what happens when you get rid of your good coach.
Yeah.
And USC is a perfect example. And it wasn't.
Well, it can go south in a hurry.
And they've still got talent there, and they still can't win. All right, let's take a quick break.
I mean, look at Michigan. How much a coach can make a difference. Mm-hmm. What else has changed at Michigan?
That's what I always say. You always give me grief for that. A coach... In the right program, you can turn any program into almost anything.
I don't give you grief for that. What I'm telling you is I don't think LSU can find a better coach than what they've got.
No, I agree with you on that. But, you know, I honestly think, like, if Jim Harbaugh were to go to LSU, yeah, that'd be an upgrade. But he's not going.
Right. Or Urban Meyer or Nick Saban. Those guys have jobs that they like better than LSU. LSU's got the best guy they can get right now.
Yeah, like I said, unless... And I don't think Jimbo's an upgrade. I'm sorry. Sorry, Florida State fan. He's a very good coach.
Jimbo Fisher's good. He's not better than Les Miles, I don't think.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
It's just one of those days.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. We'll get back to your calls, but we have an interview here.
We have him on, Jong. We good? All right, let's go to a former lightweight champion of the world who's headlining a card this weekend, Benson Henderson. Benson, how are you, my man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
How's the transition to welterweight been for you? I assume you've changed your body a little bit, but I also guess that getting down to weight's a bit easier than it once was.
Oh, yeah. Getting down the weight is definitely a lot better. Not having to worry about cutting my caloric intake by two-thirds and just getting down the weight, it's refreshing. It's pretty refreshing. Just worrying about getting better, just worrying about improving my skills, it's awesome, man.
How is it, I mean, the impact, obviously, from cutting that weight is pretty rough. I mean, does it make you feel like you're getting more out of training? Did you have to weigh out how much the reward was versus what it takes to get there?
A little bit, so to speak. I think it just becomes such a drain on you. And after you do it for so many years, like, it just was a bit of a drain. But, like, to have something new, something refreshing, something different, gets you excited again, gets you motivated again, a new test, new trial, new this. At 170, I think it was good for me. It was good for my career. We're going to keep on doing it until we feel otherwise. But it's been good. You know, we've made the pros and cons of going to 170. You know, guys at 170 being, you know, a little bit stronger, that would be the con. The pros, we think, you know, we feel that we'll be a little bit faster, a little bit quicker, a little more agile, you know, a little bit slightly more athletic than guys at 170. So, you know, we weighed those pros and cons, and we thought, yeah, let's do it. Let's give it a shot.
One of the best fights I've ever seen happened overseas in Japan when you fought Frankie Edgar and won the lightweight title back in 2012. Fighting in Korea, is it similar for you there? I mean, do you feel comfortable there? Have you kind of gathered in the culture? Obviously, I know you've got a part Korean is of in your ethnicity, but is it a comfortable spot for you?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable. I think a part of your preparation as a professional athlete, it is your job to make sure you are in your comfort zone. You need to be at 100%, no matter where you are. Whether you're fighting in your backyard, whether you're fighting in Las Vegas, whether you're fighting, no matter what it is, a part of your preparation is making sure you are good to go 100%. So for me, you know, as a professional, I've been doing this long enough. I know how to make sure I'm in my comfort zone. I know what I need to do to feel ready, to be in the right mindset, to be in the right physical condition. Korea itself is amazing. I love being in Seoul. The reception for me here in Korea is pretty amazing. It's pretty mind-blowing. Honestly, it's kind of overwhelming. But it's, very positive. It's awesome. So I'm excited to be a part of, the first UFC in Seoul, Korea ever, the first UFC event in Korea. I'm glad I can be a part of it, let alone, be the main event.
Talk about your opponent, Masvidal. What do you think of him? What do you think of his strengths, and what do you see that you can exploit?
Masvidal is tough. He's a tough kid. He started out on YouTube with Kimbo Slice and stuff, like fighting the streets. If you're fighting backyard bare knuckle, you're pretty tough, dude. He's a tough guy. Really good skill set. Good stand-up, boxing, kickboxing, great takedown defense. He trained at a great gym. He trained at America Top Team. I have a world of respect for America Top Team, how they do things, how they operate. Their coaches, I know a lot of their coaching staff. I got a ton of respect for America Top Team. He's just tough. I was supposed to face off against him before. Previously, we had signed a contract. We were going to face off. But it didn't work out. I ended up taking a fight against Brandon Thatcher on short notice. So our fight got scrubbed. But it looks like it was meant to be him and I facing off.
And Thiago Alves was supposed to fight, and you find out just a couple weeks ago. Is there a big difference between Alves and Masvidal for you stylistically?
We don't think it's too much of a big difference. Obviously, they are different, yes. But it's not like night and day. We feel... they're the same at all, but they're pretty similar. Both stand-up fighters, how they stand-up fight is definitely different, Well, they're both fan of fighters. They both you know, like to have a good takedown defense and keep it standing, and then, you know, beat you up from there. So my job is to make sure that they do not beat me up.
I don't know if you've ever in your career, and I haven't, I'm not too familiar with your career pre-Zuffa, but I'm not sure that you've ever had this long of a layoff between fights. Has this been a has this been awkward for you to have this long break? I mean, you haven't fought since February. What's it been like?
It is weird, actually. It's pretty strange for me not to be more active. Normally in my career, I'm able to be active, and even if for some reason I didn't fight, too frequently, I was still in the gym training every day. I was still, like, getting beat up, practicing, growing my skill set, getting better, improving in this area, improving in that area. This time, because I had such a long layoff that was due to an injury, I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to get better. I was able to, not able to physically do something. So I was like, oh, it was pretty frustrating, to be honest. Yes, it was pretty frustrating. But I was able to tackle that, do everything I was supposed to do, do the proper rehab and not do this and not do that, which was hard for me. But I was able to do everything I was supposed to do and not do what I was not supposed to do, come back 100% healthy and good to go. And now I'm here.
When you were in the lightweight division, you spent most of your time there most of your time, in fact, yeah, in the UFC as a title contender or right around the top tier of that. Your solid performance in your welterweight debut against Brandon Thatch, a win here. How far away do you think you are from getting into that top five conversation and maybe fighting for a title?
I have no idea, man. I stopped trying to guess that a long time ago. In the fight game and the organization that we're in, the sport that we're in, you can come in, be a relative nobody, have like one or two really good impressive performances, and next thing you know, you're in a title shot. Or you could be a veteran of the sport, have seven fights in a row, seven wins in a row, good, impressive, nice, good, solid wins, and still not be considered top 10. It's just kind of as sad as it is to say, it's kind of like a hype machine type thing, just who has a lot of hype behind them, who can talk the best and who says this and who's brash and, you know, gets people talking about them, not a lot less about the actual skill set and what their record is and that sort of stuff. It's sad for our sport, but that's the way it goes. So for me, considering where I'm at in the division or blah, blah, I really don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I just go out there and I got to get my hand raised. I know that in the long run, as long as you're out there and you win your next fight, everything else will take care of itself. So I don't really like to think about it. I'm not too worried about, too concerned about, you know, where I stack up in division and rankings and this and that and this and that. When you have a guy who was ranked like number 5 or 7 or something, lose a title shot and lose his last fight, and then goes up a weight class and gets a title shot right away, you know, in your sport, like, what are you going to do about that? You know, like, okay, I guess that's more just about being able to, talk a big game and have people talk about you and keep your name out there, and a lot less about the actual, like, ranking and that sort of stuff.
All right, that's former lightweight champion of the world, Benson Henderson. He takes on Jorge Masvidal at UFC Fight Night, Henderson versus Masvidal out there in Korea. And you can see that on UFC Fight Pass. Dong Hyun Kim also on the card. Going to be a good night of fights. Benson, appreciate it, and best of luck to you this weekend, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. You have a good one, man.
All right, good talking to you. Benson Henderson. All right, I'm going to quickly tell you guys about the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. If you're a little beat up, you need to know about these guys over at Richmond Bone and Joint, part of UT Physicians Group. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements. The doctors there have developed a reputation for being accomplished and progressive, and they're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible. They've developed systems to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal. They've got 3 easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugarland, and Richmond. They've all got free parking right out in front, and they've got 20 physicians that encompass a wide range of specialties, including orthopedic and musculoskeletal, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedic, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today. 281-344-1715 or visit rbjc.com. You learn more about the doctors. You can schedule your appointment online, and a physician referral may not be necessary depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out. 281-344-1715 for the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Order your turkey day feast from Damaris Barbecue today and come hang out with every man's friend, John Granato. See? Every man's friend.
Every man's friend.
I didn't write it.
Okay. And the ESPN promo team Wednesday at Damaris Barbecue at West Loop and 18th Street from 3 until 5. Break bread and drink beer while you are there to pick up some barbecue, brisket, ribs, and sides to add on your holiday feast. I like John. I don't know if he's every man's friend.
I went to the U of H Memphis game, and the people behind me were talking about John. And they were like, man, what happened to John Granato? I didn't really say anything because I don't like to talk to people outside of like work like that.
Yeah.
In terms of like the station and stuff. People, they're older. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. People still, you know, ask about sports radio when you're at a football game.
I always tell him he died. It was tragic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Drinking accident?
Yeah.
Hard times.
Yeah. So.
R.I.P.
Yeah. All right, let's do, we got a dumbass report, right?
We do have a dumbass report. And I thought about saving my, our urinal story.
No, that would have been a great one, but
for the dumbass
report, it was too good tonight.
I had to give it to the people. I felt like there was it was something that just had to be told, and I couldn't hold it in all day. So,
well, neither could he, and that was the problem.
Yeah. Let's go to Florida, where an attempted robbery took place. Fred, a man in a Darth Vader costume. Shocking. This is in Jacksonville. A man in a Darth Vader costume decided to rob a store. And instead, he was pummeled with a jar of salad dressing. The suspect went into a store at 5:30 p.m. with a silver handgun and demanded money. The clerk, who struggled with the robber and refused to give up any cash, grabbed a jar of dressing and flung it at the Darth Vader lookalike, hitting him in the helmet. A bottle of wine also fell and shattered during the fight. The suspect ran outside. He took off his mask as he was getting into a car. He looked at a witness. Monday, Evan said the outfit included a helmet and replica of Vader's chest-mounted control box. It looks like a whole costume. An aficionado of the movie series, Evans recently bought a Christmas stocking in the likeness of Chewbacca. Yeah, I swear to you, I just hung it over my fireplace yesterday. The bottle of dressing. Any guess on what kind of dressing would stop Darth Vader?
Italian?
No. Blue cheese.
Oh, really?
Would have been the correct answer.
The force is not strong with this one.
No. You know, I'm not really a strip club guy anymore. But if you're going to go to a strip club, you got to know how to work the ladies. You got to know how to get the best service. A strip club patron called cops yesterday to report that he was assaulted by an adult dancer after suggesting that she should, quote, go to the gym and lose some weight. Kyle Yeomans, who's 23, told cops he was at Derriere's Gentleman's Club in Myrtle Beach. He recalled Florida, the stripper was annoying him and that she kept trying to talk to him and he was tired of it. He did tell cops that he was drunk at the time and rated his level of intoxication an 11 out of 10. In response to being annoyed, Yeomans told the dancer that she should go to the gym and lose weight. The stripper, he said, was a white female with long black hair. He estimated she weighed between 115 and 120 pounds. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's doing all right.
Unless she's 4 foot one.
He also reported that his attacker had, quote, a muffin top. After receiving his unsolicited fitness advice, she allegedly reached off the stage and struck him 4 times in the face. Yeoman said he was then dragged out by Derriere's bouncers who were unnecessarily rough with him. He waited about 17 hours to report the incident. He had injuries on his face, consistent with his statement of being struck. The stripper caused the injuries, hitting him while wearing a ring.
If you're a turd, it's going to come back to you.
I don't know if that's warranted or not. If you call a stripper fat and she hits you, is it... Whose fault? Who's at fault there? You should probably know better.
I don't think that's one you... Although, if she's bothering you and you want to get rid of her, just say, hey, look, you're too big for me. Sorry.
I'm not... Yeah, you're not...
Yeah, like, I want one of these, like, really skinny Calista Flockhart-looking crackos.
Right. Finally, Wayne, New Jersey, in an attempt to mislead officers, a woman called 911, sending a police car away from her location so she could drive home drunk. Haley Oates reported to 911 dispatchers that a woman was being assaulted at a bar in northern New Jersey. Oates said the assailant was in a blue truck and quickly ended the call. Police investigated the report but found no evidence of assault or witness. Later, security cameras confirmed that no assault had occurred. Oates reportedly posted to social media, "Laugh my ass off. 2 minutes later, the cop peels out. Silly piggies, tricks are for you." Oh, police claimed that Oates intentionally called 911.
Never a good idea.
Yeah, who's silly for posting on social media?
Good plan, and
charged
then
with filing
up.
False reports to law enforcement and creating false public alarm. And that is your dumbass report.
Boy, it's just some of these people, they do these things and you think, that's smart, that's smart. Then
you got to dumb
idiot.
It up.
Yep. Oh, well. Well, that's going to wrap it up. We'll do this again tomorrow. Want to thank Jong Lee. Want to thank AJ Hoffman, Vincent Henderson for joining us. And Stanford Ralph for coming in, talking a little UH football. We'll hit a lot more college stuff tomorrow, a lot more NFL. We'll talk about the game tonight, among other things. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.